Geek Radio Daily for Halfway Day.
That's right.
That's right. It's had so many names over the years, but Halfway Day, that's perfect because, you know, that gives you hope. I mean, so much is behind you, and now, yeah, just slide right into the weekend. It's going to be fantastic. And smack your coworker who still tries to impersonate the camel.
That's over, man. That's over.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 22nd of January. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man who said, well, sure, I guess I can do some extra work for you, boss. I guess that's podcaster Fritz Siegfried.
I like the idea of it more than I actually like it.
Which is a fair thing. A fair thing indeed. Hi, everybody. I'm the guy that can tell you Leonard Nimoy and Clint Eastwood's first film, as well as many other facts you never need to know, because I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I know this because I'm a geek.
True fact. Can't deny it. What happened today, sir?
In 1889, the Columbia Phonograph Company is formed in Washington, D.C. as a successor to the Volta Graphophone Company. The company will go on to become the first record company to produce pre-recorded records rather than just blank cylinders.
1908, Edward I. Berlin uses his Berlinograph, a system able to send remote photographs over telephone and telegraphic networks to transmit a photograph 1,700 kilometers from Paris to Bordeaux to Lyon, then back. It takes 22 minutes.
1939, the uranium atom is split for the first time using the cyclotron at Columbia University's in New York City. The breakthrough will lead to the creation of the atom bomb in Manhattan projects, as well as two Christmases for its children.
1946, U.S. President Harry S. Truman creates the Central Intelligence Group, the forerunner of the Central Intelligence Agency.
1968, NASA launches Apollo 5, carrying the first lunar module into space on a mission to perform unmanned tests.
1984, Apple Computer launches what will become one of the best-known ad campaigns in history during Super Bowl XVIII, the 60-second commercial, 1984. An allusion to the dystopian novel by George Orwell. In it, Big Brother, a reference to IBM, is destroyed by a runner who is intended to represent Macintosh. Apple only airs the commercial once, but it's going to be replayed by news and talk shows across the nation, making it one of the most famous campaigns in history. Again, the ad was directed by Ridley Scott. It cost $400,000 to produce in 84 money.
1992, the Space Shuttle Discovery is launched on an extended scientific mission, carrying the first International Microgravity Laboratory Space Lab experiment. During the mission, Dr. Roberta Bondar becomes the first Canadian woman in space.
1997, Oklahoma resident Lottie Williams allegedly becomes the first human to be struck by space debris re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. Tulsa, Oklahoma, she's hit on the shoulder by a 10 by 13 centimeter chunk of charred woven metal that will later be authenticated as a piece of the fuel tank from a Delta II rocket, which had been used to launch a U.S. Air Force satellite in 1996. She was uninjured because nothing can kill her.
2003, NASA receives the last signal from Pioneer 10, the most far distant man-made object in the solar system.
2004, NASA announces it's lost contact with the Mars Spirit rover. They need Uhura. Good God.
2007, the Indian space capsule SRE-1 returns to Earth, successfully completing a 12-day orbital test flight. It's the first test of a human-related payload by India.
Same day, same year, Scottish scientist Simon Lillico of the Roslin Institute announces the creation of genetically engineered hens capable of producing medically useful proteins in their eggs and passing the ability on to their offspring. Spoilers for Watchmen. Such proteins could be useful in the treatment of a variety of conditions ranging from anemia to cancer.
2010, aboard the International Space Station, NASA astronaut Timothy J. Creamer becomes the first person to use Twitter live from space. The tweet reads, "Hello, Twitterverse. We are now live tweeting from the International Space Station. The first live tweet from space. Smiley face. More soon. Send your question marks." Michael J. Massimino sent a tweet while in space on May 12th. 2009, but it was relayed to NASA before being sent through the internet, as there was no live network connection in space at the time.
Think of all the times you can't get internet on your phone and they've got it in space. Same day, same year, the sci-fi drama television series Caprica debuts on the SYFY channel in the U.S. It's a spin-off prequel of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica series. It'll run for one season of 18 episodes. It's 58 years prior to the events of Battlestar Galactica. It follows the events of the creation of the Cylons and really should have got a second season.
Truth. 2010, Conan O'Brien performs his last Tonight Show on NBC as a part of the 2010 Tonight Show conflict. It's a shame that they shut down the show and never aired another episode.
Damn you, Jay Leno.
And screw you, Jimmy Fallon.
Birthdays?
Tommy Knight, 27, Luke from the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Balthazar Getty is 45 from Lord of the Flies, Young Guns 2, Judge Dredd, and Twin Peaks.
Olivia Diabo is 51 from L&O Criminal Intent, Clone Wars, Luminara, and Clone Wars. DJ, so many other things.
DJ Jazzy Jeff is 55, the real talent in that duo, and of course played jazz in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
So wait, so was he the rapper?
He's the DJ. I'm the rapper.
Oh, okay. Linda Blair, 61, from The Exorcist and Chained Heat, as well as Night Shift and Repossessed.
John Wesley Shipp is 65, from Never Ending Story to The Flash, Dawson's Creek, Teen Wolf, and The Flash.
Steve Perry. He's 71. He's the lead singer for Journey and First Psych Out, retired in basketball.
Come on, man. You said no more Steve Perry. Piper Laurie is 88, from The Hustler, Carrie, and Twin Peaks.
Born this day, no longer with us, 1561, Francis Bacon, English philosopher and politician, known vegan.
In 1788, Lord Byron, an English poet and playwright, ate whatever he liked.
D.W. Griffith, American director, producer, and screenwriter.
1893, Conrad Veidt, a German-American actor, director, and producer.
Of course, parent of the person who ended up completely wrecking the world by dropping an alien squid on New York.
Unfortunately.
1906, Robert E. Howard, American author and poet.
He really liked hearing the lamentations of... No. 1934, Bill Bixby, The Courtship of Eddie's Father, Kentucky Fried Movie, The Incredible Hulk, and The Magician.
1935, Seymour Castle, Life Aquatic, Royal Tenenbaums, and Dick Tracy.
1940, John Hurt, from Alien, The Elephant Man. 1984, From the Hip, Hellboy, and is, and will always be, the War Doctor.
On CBS, we've got Dippin' Dots on a new undercover boss. Are they going as a Dippin' Dot? That'd be fascinating. SEAL Team and SWAT.
ABC's got a new Goldberg, Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and Dex becomes close friends with a new client who's been losing money as the owner of a male strip club on a new stump town.
NBC has the Chai Try with your meds, your fires, and your pids.
Fox has two reruns of 911 Lone Star with Rob Lowe.
Isn't that new?
Nope, they're both reruns. But
well,
it's a
no,
new
the show is
right, yes, okay. Yes.
CW has a new Riverdale, and Nancy's mission to clear Carson's name winds up clashing with Owen's pursuit of justice for all of the victims of the Bonnie Scott on a new Nancy Drew.
Freeform, Emilio sees an opportunity to make extra money catering on the side on a new Party of Five, followed by Good Trouble.
So it's becoming Party Down of Five. Cool. AMC has a Walk Amongst the Tombstones.
FX, when a single father dies from cancer, his awkward and estranged son offers himself up to be the guardian for his two teenage half-sisters, not on Party of Five, but on Everything's Gonna Be Okay.
FXX. Keep watching.
Make me. FXM has Revenant.
Well, I know something in that one that'll make you do something. NGC has Undercover Arms Dealer on a new undercover, new Locked Up Abroad.
IFC has arguably Adam Sandler's best film, The Wedding Singer.
It's good. BBC America has The Punisher.
Paramount, Roback, Davis, and Petrocelli face treacherous conditions in the desert as they make their way back to base on a new 68 whiskey.
Sippy, Alice fails to purchase enough tacos, and Fenn receives three bars on a new The Magicians.
TBS, it's a new Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, but we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a young woman decides to return to her hometown to celebrate her father's retirement from coaching and is surprised to find her quiet visit's been interrupted by the arrival of her high school sweetheart turned NFL quarterback. Lindy Booth, Trevor Donovan, and Ed Marinaro star in Snow Coming.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad is attacked by a shark while swimming to the nearest beach. Dun-dun. But manages to frighten him away, because as we know, sharks are easily scared. He reaches the beach where a leopard finds him and a fight ensues. Luckily, he's not harmed, and he must have scared that leopard too, because it retreats and Chad just collapses on the sand. He is so out of breath, he is gasping for air. Wolf? Is he being attacked by a wolf now? With a buffalo? 66 of them? Man, watch this be a prehistoric island filled with Jurassic women. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hey, Billy and PRS, I forgot to send this yesterday, but I know Chad and Abby are fearing the high seas on... The only bright spot on the nightmarish hellscape that was... No idea if I spelled that correctly. Keep up the great work. That's Jared from Anaheim. Well, Jared, you're absolutely right on what show it was, but you're wrong on the bright spot of the nightmarish hellscape. It was a completely different nightmarish hellscape, and I'm stunned you forgot it. Maybe your psyche is protecting you from it. If you have the slightest idea of what turns out to be the most difficult one I've ever come up with, by all means, tell us where they are. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or of course, tell us in a voicemail. Sing the theme song if you'd like. Just dial the number of
510-GRD-CRO.
Welcome to Expert Level, kids.
This is Phil Collinson. You're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK,
you will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Winger in here. That's a load-bearing winger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
But we had such hope for the character. Thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric. He's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled him up.
Do we need all these singing type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and loathe.
This show has always been about warts and all, by God, and we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com.
Hooray!
Hi, this is Brad Dourif, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Welcome back to it. And after all that drama and trouble trying to figure that out, let's do something a little easier, shall we?
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed it is, and it's waiting for you at the shop along with what else?
From DC Comics, we've got Batman, Curse of the White Knight, 6 of 8, Middlemen, 4 of 12, Red Hood, Outlaw number 42, and an all-star 96-page celebration of the Amazon Princess by longtime favorites and acclaimed new voices in the lead story. Wonder Woman's epic Year of the Villain battle comes to a close, leading the way to new challenges ahead. Additionally, the oversized gem tells tales from Diana's past, present, and future by some of the greatest storytellers in the business in Wonder Woman 750.
Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy number 1, Ruins of Ravencroft Dracula number 1, Web of Venom the Good Son number 1, and the armies of Atlantis face Atlas in a showdown destined to shake allegiances and break hearts. Amadeus Cho, Silk Wave, Shang-Chi, and all the heroes of the Atlas have bonded with each other after the cliffhangers of War of the Realms, but when a terrible secret incurs the wrath of King Namor, who's the true friend and who's the true enemy? A titanic tale of love and betrayal, heroes and monsters, gods and underdogs, in Atlantis of Tex, number 1 of 5. No, this is not the late 80s.
Boom Studios has Firefly, number 13. Folklords, 3 of 5. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 47. From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Black Terror, number 4. Deja Thoris, number 2. Vampirella, number 7. And the past meets the present with the future of literally everything at stake. The warrior Red Sonja has a plan to keep freshly killed wizard Kulangath from resurrecting himself again. He's such a scamp. But when the plan backfires, it allows a whole new kind of chaos to infest the Hyborian Age in Red Sonja, Age of Chaos. Number 1.
From American Mythology Productions, Casper Spotlight Hot Stuff Sizzlers, number 1, and Hatchet, number 0. Over to IDW Publishing, I Can Sell You a Body, number 2 of 4. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends, 21. Wellington, 2 of 5. But then, after defeating Gozer, becoming heroes in the city, county, and state of New York, a publisher's decided to cash in with a biography of the Boys in Gray, and sends a writer to interview them all for background. He starts with Winston Zeddemore, the first buster hired into the supernatural startup, who relates the story of his very first bust in Ghostbusters, Year 1, number 1 of 4.
Archie Comics has Archie versus Predator 2, number 5 of 5, so that story's wrapping up.
Predator wants his revenge.
Cosmo the Mighty Martian, 3 of 5, and Vampironica, New Blood, number 2. From Dark Horse, we've got Count Crowley, Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunt, number 4 of 4, great name. Neil Gaiman's American Gods, The Moment of the Storm, number 9. Triage wrapping up with 5 of 5. And with chaos and absolute power on the presidential agenda, will Big Head take all? The Mask calls out to the minds of those previously under its control and sets pieces into motion that will lead to a conclusion that is explosive in more ways than one. In The Mask, I pledge allegiance to The Mask, number 4.
Image, American Jesus, the new Messiah, number 2. Family Tree, number 3. Hardcore Reloaded, 2 of 5. And from Ablaze, it's been 3 months since a terrible epidemic turned the population into zombies hungry for fresh meat. Only after devouring almost all of humanity, the undead themselves begin to wither and fall from famine. Somewhere in a suburban town, Ben, 10 years old and still traumatized by the death of his parents, forms with his friends the last bastion of humanity, Wolverines! And between hunting zombie survivors, expeditions to amass food, toys, and comics, all filmed by the aptly named Spielberg, life flows rather peacefully in their world until something worse than a nuclear disaster or the four flashing red rings of death on an Xbox 360 hits their small community. Two girls! Accustomed to chilling by the pool, eating chocolate bars, playing video games, how the boys react to Polly's bizarre new customs and her little sister Sue. Find out in Kids, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, the Thunderbolts may make their cinematic universe debut in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Cool. That was a good... Wait, May? It's a rumor.
Yes, but this one would be fun. There are reports that Falcon and the Winter Soldier will introduce the villainous team, which was led by Baron Zemo in the comics. Daniel Brühl will reprise his role in the upcoming Disney Plus series.
Justice, like all lightning, ever should appear to few men's ruin, but to all men's fear.
Zemo is not the only Thunderbolts character making the MCU rounds again. William Hurt's General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, another leading Thunderbolts member, will return in this May's Black Widow film. An MCU-sized team could also tap into the characters like Ghost, who survived the events of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Taskmaster, who will debut in Black Widow.
I'm still holding hope for Post-Pot-Pete-Taste-Pot. Yeah, I don't know characters.
It doesn't matter. The Thunderbolts debuted in 97's The Incredible Hulk 449 by Kurt Busiek, Mark Bagley. At first, they appeared to be a new superhero team who stepped in after the Avengers were killed by Onslaught, but they were quickly revealed as a group of villains. Some iterations attempted to buck their villainous past and find redemption with new heroic lives.
Spoilers. You know that is going to be the season one cliffhanger.
Probably. The team was initially led by Zemo, who took on the mantle of Citizen V, but he was soon ousted by the villains who truly wanted to become heroes. Subsequently, the team was taken over by do-gooders like Hawkeye, Luke Cage, Ross's Red Hulk, spoilers. Notably, Bucky Barnes also led a recent iteration of the team. And he still could. You know you'd watch him try to take the team from Norman Osborn in Benny and the Bolt.
The Digi-Destined are back for another adventure in the new Digimon Adventure TV anime series. Note that the TV anime's title has a colon at the end to denote it from the previous TV and film series.
Oh.
Now, the series will air on Fuji TV from April 2020 in the Sunday 9 a.m. slot on the network and follow Tai as a fifth grader and Agumon in 2020 Tokyo.
Really? I swore I would never let anyone see me cry, but really? All I ever wanted to do was cry.
Here's a translated synopsis of the series from the newly overhauled Japanese Toei animation website. Networks are now an integral part of human life, but humans are unaware that beyond the network, an infinite world exists, the digital world, and the creatures called Digimon that live there.
Prodigious!
A large-scale network failure occurs in the Tokyo metropolitan area. A flickering signal or garbled screens are prevalent. The news report that it's cyber terrorism.
Being a Digi-Destined means that sometimes you have to save the world, even if you're the one who caused the problem.
The main character is Taichi Yagami, a fifth grader living in a tower apartment near Tokyo. A mysterious phenomenon overtakes the Digi-Destined, transporting Taichi to the digital world. The children meet their partner Digimon and embark on an unknown adventure.
I have a foolproof plan. First, we'll eat something. Then after that, I'm open to suggestions.
It's my 5-year plan. It is not always announced whether Digimon Adventure is a remake of the original TV anime or an alternate world, which exists in the Digimon canon, making these Digimon Adventure kids different from those in the upcoming Digimon Adventure : Last Evolution Kizuna anime film. And I am happy for you Digifans, but I'm still waiting for Slam Dunk or Ping Pong Club to come back. And why does everyone get the pizza while I get the crust?
Last year, we told you Games Workshop took its biggest steps yet at trying to turn its tabletop wargaming world into a transmedia franchise with the announcement of Eisenhorn, the first live-action television series adaptation of the grimdark world of Warhammer 40,000. And while that's still a glimmer in an inquisitorial eye, there's already another one in the early stages.
For those who seek perfection, there can be no rest on this side of the grave.
Head of the recently established Warhammer Media, Andy Smiley, confirmed that early plans have been drafted for a second show set in the far-flung future of the Warhammer 40,000 universe. It's no secret that we're working on some really exciting projects right now, he remarked. We're animating Angels of Death, developing Eisenhorn for live action, and have just put pen to paper on a 40K anthology show. Although, don't quote me on the last one. It's not announced yet. We really wanted a Warhammer ident so that when people are watching one of our shows, they'll know what they're seeing is part of the Warhammer brand. It's a mark of quality, if you will. Something to tie what you see on your screen to the Warhammer hobby and to Games Workshop. At least, we hope.
Hope is the first step on the road to disappointment.
So all we know is there is a Warhammer 40,000 anthology series in the works. No details, no distributor, no creative talent, but we did get that for the Eisenhorn announcement, which included several repeated reminders that even that show was in the earliest possible stages of development, so this one must be even earlier. But it's an anthology show, but 40K.
Only in death does duty end.
What that might mean, though? Well, hopefully stories set in this crazy, scenery-chewing world that aren't being told from the perspective of humanity and its legions of obscenely popular, because we always get stories about them, genetically enhanced religious warriors, the Space Marines. There are so many cool and weird factions at play in the galaxy of 40K, whether it's the Fallen from Grace Empire, or the Eldar, the alien swarm mind of the sinister Tyranids, or the mecha-piloting caste of the Tau. Personally, I can't wait to see the orcs in space!
The episodes will come in black and white. You have to color them yourself. In response to its somewhat lackluster reception, developers Tall Boys and Tiny Build have announced that their multiplayer first-person shooter, Pandemic Express, Zombie Escape, which first launched in September 2019, has gone free-to-play.
So another microtransaction-heavy zombie shooter?
The game will have optional microtransactions to buy in-game currency, though you can earn it through normal play. Under the new system, players will earn stars, the game's currency, by playing matches that can be spent on costumes, emojis, and in-game music. Anyone who bought the prior game to the free-to-play transition will be given 2,000 stars and access to all music tracks as thanks.
Oh, I might pay 2,000 stars for Camille Saint-Saëns' Danse Macabre alone.
If you're not hip to the game Pandemic Express, the game has a group of 30 people attempting to escape a zombie apocalypse, with the twist being that one of them is already infected, granting them certain abilities. The infected player must now munch on the brains of the other 29 players as they run to catch the last train out, as well as fight off the zombie hordes that have amassed against them. But don't worry, they're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's going to eat your eyes.
A new type of immune cell which kills most cancers has been discovered by accident by British scientists in a finding which could herald a major breakthrough in treatment.
May we all say, we hope the hell so.
Researchers at Cardiff University were analyzing blood from a bank in Wales looking for immune cells that could fight bacteria when they found an entirely new type of T cell.
But not the T virus. Because that never goes well.
That new immune cell carries a never-before-seen receptor which acts like a grappling hook, latching onto most human cancers while ignoring healthy cells.
And this never popped up before? Where was it hiding?
In laboratory studies, immune cells equipped with the new receptor were shown to kill lung, skin, blood, colon, breast, bone, prostate, ovarian, kidney, and cervical cancer. Professor Andrew Sewell lead author on the study and an expert in T-cells from Cardiff University School of Medicine said it was highly unusual to find a cell that had broad cancer-fighting therapies and raised the prospect of a universal therapy.
All right, so how in the hell do we fund this?
He also stated that some people may have these cells inside them now, which means someone in Wales is walking around completely immune to cancer. Professor Sewell said, possibly. This immune cell could be quite rare, or it could be that lots of people have this receptor, but for some reason it is not activated. We just don't know yet.
Can someone give them access to Ancestry.com findings or 23andMe? Hell, even go back to their MySpace.
Therapies which engineer immune cells to fight specific types of cancer already exist, but they're currently only useful for some forms of leukemia and do not work for solid tumors, which account for most cancers. Professor Sewell said the right people are now interested in developing the potential new therapy and said progress could move quite fast. The team says human trials on terminally ill patients could begin as early as November if the new treatment passes further laboratory safety testing. Godspeed, Professor. I call on the entire world to help this happen sooner. Because again, we at GRD mean it from the bottom of our hearts when we say, F cancer! GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Leave us a review, one anywhere you'd like to, and mention F cancer as much as humanly possible, because that's a message that the world should frickin' embrace, and that, therefore, we could find peace, love, and understanding. Huh? Let's make this happen, people. Make it happen.
Aaron.
Sorry, I got into a thing there. I didn't mean to. Hey, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, send us a voicemail and tell me what a bastard I've been with this week's Chad and Abby by dialing the number of
510-GRD.
And we will F cancer with you again tomorrow.
Send check or money order to the address on your screen.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
Good night, suckers.
It's happening! Use the moose!
Sorry, kid, but this has to happen.
Barry, we need to do it.
momentarily stealing your feet. You play this piece for game long enough, you learn some neat tricks.
Wait, why are you doing this?
Nobu said the Flash must die in Crisis. He never said which one. You're a true hero, Jefferson. I can't thank you enough. Open the breach. I need to get in that force field.
No.
Do you want your friend to die? Let me do this. Let me save you all.
Cisco, don't.
Oh, Cisco. Come on. Thank you. Keep riding the lightning, son. I know you'll make us all proud.